You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
And that's the way it is. Friday, March 6th, 1981. I'll be away on assignment, and Dan Rather will be sitting in here for the next few years.
You know, it's been a while since I've had a mistake like that, so I'm giving myself a pass.
Add him to the board.
Add him to the board. He's getting on there with Kinzinger and Espresso and Ambiguous. No, I just called Howie about that. Howie goes, don't worry about it. It's like, okay, good. Because every once in a while, you have a flub, okay? And if the president can make 400 a day, I can get one every couple of shows. So we will add that to the board. We have a lot to talk about here. And one thing I wanted to do, which you guys know I have been veering away from this, I don't tend to read pieces on the air. But if something's really, really good and I really think you need to hear it, I will give it some time. I am going to do that with a piece here from David Harsanyi. I thought it was excellent. Howie wanted me to also just make it clear to people that the security guard who was shackled to his bed for his self-defense, he was actually shot twice before he fired back. And that is a very important detail. Caroline and I were going through so many things. I mean, we hit Walter Cronkite. We hit Trump, MAGA, the indictments, Alvin Bragg. So that got a little bit lost in the shuffle, but that is an important part of the story. Just makes it all the more ludicrous what Alvin Bragg is up to. I just mentioned here that now the left is trying to, what do I always say is the last bastion or the last refuge of a scoundrel? There's a couple of things, but one of them, I know what you're getting ready to play. I saw you. I saw you move your hand there, Jared, and I know you think I'm going to say racism, don't you? Go ahead, play the sound. You think
racism, racism.
You'd be wrong, sir, because the other last refuge of a scoundrel is danger, danger. You're putting my safety at risk. Now, this doesn't apply if you're Brett Kavanaugh, if you're Amy Coney Barrett, if you're Ginny Thomas. No amount of danger, no amount of threats, no amount of doxing, no amount of people outside your homes with zip ties or protesters. None of that is supposed to affect you. None of that is going to get you sympathy from the mainstream media or even protection from Merrick Garland. None of that matters. But if Donald Trump Jr. tweets out an article from Breitbart with the judge who's persecuting and prosecuting his father, and the judge's daughter, the judge that's overseeing the people who are prosecuting and persecuting Donald Trump, if you put out that article, then you are putting this person in danger. And I wanted to talk about this because Glenn Kessler had a real whopper. He puts up the two tweets. Both Trump sons have now posted photos of the judge's adult daughter, totally irrelevant and obviously intended to intimidate. Molly Hemingway wrote back, did you just deceptively edit these tweets in order to falsely portray the linking of a news story about a public figure as the posting of a private individual's photo? Wow, banner flipping week, Glenn. Because Glenn has had a banner week.
These are facts. Check them out.
You missed any of Glenn's other great moments, his fact checks being fact checked by Twitter fact checkers. You got to go listen to the other podcast. But the reason I bring this up is because I love how Glenn Kessler says this is totally irrelevant. The judge's daughter, the judge who's overseeing the case against former President Donald Trump, his daughter allegedly worked for the Biden-Harris campaign. And we are supposed to believe that that is irrelevant to the news, that no one should care about that. So let me just give you a little bit more information here. This is from the New York Post. Lauren Merchant was listed as a Democrat on a 2020 honors list by Campaigns and Elections, which detailed her work as a president and partner with Authentic Campaigns, a digital agency geared toward progressive political campaigns. The Breitbart article featured a picture of Merchant with his daughter and alleged that she worked on the Biden-Harris presidential campaign. Now, my question, which I just asked to Caroline Leavitt and which I would ask to the listeners, is let's just in a world where this is Hillary Clinton who is being indicted. I can't think of anything they'd be able to get her on. Really, it'd be thin gruel. OK, it'd be yoga emails and wedding planning emails and maybe a situation with an ashtray. But besides that, it would be thin gruel. But just hypothetically speaking, Hillary Clinton's being indicted. And that will not happen, as I mentioned, because she is above the law, which we're going to get to. But let's say the judge who's overseeing that case, his son worked for the campaign to reelect Donald J. Trump. Do you think Glenn Kessler, fact checker extraordinaire, would consider that irrelevant information? No. But the danger flag is waving now. Like you can't, whenever there's sunlight on something and the left knows that sunlight is the best disinfectant, that is what they'll pull out. They'll start saying, yeah, oh, this is so dangerous. The judge, it's intimidation. That is their, in case of emergency, break glass move. And I think most people can see it now. It's fine to, like I said, it's fine to intimidate Brett Kavanaugh. It's fine to sit outside his home with zip ties. It's fine to write up articles about Ginny Thomas's text messages. It's fine to do all of that. It's even fine to, if you're a liberal, to wish that Clarence Thomas is fed a steady diet of butter and sugar so he dies a premature death. That's all okay, as long as you're talking about conservatives. But if you want to even point out the facts involved with the judge in this case, who's a Democrat, whoa. Now we're playing with fire. This is a bridge too far. Don't go there. Okay, now let's get to No One Is Above the Law. This is David Harsanyi. Lock Donald Trump up or don't lock him up, but don't tell me that no one is above the law. It is one of the most ludicrous fantasies peddled by the left. Plenty of people are above the law. James Clapper, who lied under oath to Congress about spying on the American people, is above the law. John Brennan, who lied about a domestic spying operation on Senate staffers, is above the law. Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder was never going to be handcuffed and thrown in prison for ignoring a congressional subpoena. Unlike Trump advisor Peter Navarro, he is above the law. I would add in that Peter Navarro, just for theatrics, was actually thrown into Hinckley's cell just to make it really memorable, just to really send a message. Trump's 2016 opponent, Hillary Clinton, is above the law. The then Secretary of State set up a private server in her home to circumvent transparency surrounding her slush fund foundation. She sent 110 emails containing marked classified information, and 36 of those emails contained secret information. 8 of the email chains contained top secret information. Every one of those instances was a potential felony, punishable with up to 10 years in prison. We learned all of this from James Comey. Remember James Comey, the former FBI director, who the other day was saying when Trump was indicted, this is a great day. It's a great day. Because again, like Alvin Bragg, he doesn't see politics, Jared. He just calls balls and strikes, okay? He is a nonpartisan, credible, stand-up guy. Well, James Comey at the time noted that Hillary had been extremely careless in conducting her business. Comey didn't recommend charges because he claimed the state couldn't prove Clinton's intent, even though gross negligence, not intent, was the only standard he needed. Gross negligence and extreme carelessness are synonyms. Comey concocted a new standard to protect Clinton because Everyone say it with me now. She is above the law.
When she's the serpent who guards the gates of hell.
Yeah, that too. She's a lot of things. Speaking of Hillary, though, her husband, you know, the guy who plays the saxophone and hasn't had meat in like 50 years. And I think there was something involving, since we're talking about hush money and scandals, sex scandals, I think there was something. But, you know, I couldn't even get Cronkite right. So I'm not going to try to pretend that I know the ins and outs of the Monica Lewinsky saga. But I think that was a big deal at the time in the 90s, if I have it right. Well, he perjured himself under oath. Democrats argued that conservatives were only pursuing Bill because of some trumped up charge over sex. Using that logic, Trump's campaign finances or his finance charges related to Stormy Daniels' hush money are also about sex. Now, this is different because Trump is the boogeyman and everyone knows he's guilty of something. I would also argue here, if I were David Harsanyi, and he's an excellent writer, he's a much better writer than I am. But I would also argue that this is different because not just because Trump is a boogeyman, but because Trump is below. Trump is beneath the law. That's the difference here. Don't worry, though. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. By everyone, she means Republicans. And if you think this authoritarian formulation is an accident, you haven't been paying attention. When Democrats were smearing Brett Kavanaugh as a gang rapist a few years back, Mazie Hirono was asked whether the then nominee deserved the same presumption of innocence as everyone else in America. After all, this wasn't any judicial disagreement, but about alleged criminal behavior. Hirono's responded, "I put his denial in the context of everything that I know about him in terms of how he approaches his cases." In other words, if you're a conservative, your politics are evil, and if your politics are evil, you are probably evil. Now, I'm seeing a lot of that right now. I'm seeing a lot of, well, even though this case might not be that strong, there's still so many other bad things that Trump has done, so I hope that they get a conviction. Because there's other things that make him bad. What law school did all these people go to? I don't think that's, I feel like the woman in that commercial, Jared, who's explaining Facebook, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. You don't get to say, well, I really don't like this person. So I know that we don't really have a case here. But couldn't we make something happen? Because he seems really evil. No, if you have so many, and they keep saying, well, there's so much else. That's what these serious reporters in the Washington Post write. Yeah, this might not be a great case, but there's so many other things. Like what? If there's so many other things, you've had plenty of time and you spent plenty of money to show us what those other things are. And yet, here I am. We'll be right back. I'll go to a little bit more of this. We'll talk about Alvin Bragg. Inflation is at a 40-year high. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You're not getting just one. You're not getting two. You're getting three. Now, if you have two, I really like one in the kitchen and one in the car. But I think the third one, Jared, it's a nice thing to give as a gift because a lot of people ask us questions about these. I think they're a little hesitant to make the move. And if you get a 3-pack, you can give one and, you know, you can give the gift of clean, fresh air.
Yeah, it's always nice to be a little selfish. But you can still be giving and give somebody the gift of fresh air because what the thunderstorm does is it actually ionizes the air. It creates a super oxygen, which eliminates any odors that are in the air. It doesn't cover it up. It doesn't make it smell flowery. It actually eliminates that, and you get what I call the absence of smell. It can do the same thing with allergens and pollutants and even some viruses that are in the air.
Yes, and right now you can give the gift of fresh, clean air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACE at checkout. These are small devices. They don't take up a lot of floor space. They don't require any work at all. You just plug them in and let them do the work for you. So that's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. We will be right back with more.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
This is where we are as a nation. Who would have thought They can't beat us at the ballot box, so they try and beat us through the law. That's the country in which we live, however, right now. The USA is a mess.
It is indeed. I just want to read a little bit more here from David Harsanyi, and then we'll go to your calls. David Harsanyi writes, "Not that anyone cares about double standards anymore. I'm not naive, and no one is innocent in politics, but the contemporary left's utter and growing disdain for any semblance of limiting principles continues to do profound damage to the system." I'm skipping around a little bit here. "Trump is an easy target. The next target, I assure you, will be a Republican who is even worse than Trump." And he puts that in quotes. "And the justifications for throwing out norms to stop them will be exactly the same. Conservatives who contend that Democrats won't like where the Trump arraignment leads are probably engaged in some wish casting. Those who hold the upper hand in our major institutions aren't too worried about short-term threats of retribution. And anyway, progressives love Calvin Ball, a system of constantly shifting norms that rewards those most willing to use power. That's the point." Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't know how much of this is, you know, you better watch out. Like, I've seen a lot of, oh, Democrats are opening Pandora's box. I tend to agree with my callers who say, well, Republicans never really play ball. You know, they keep going with the same old rules. So maybe that's what Democrats are hoping. But it is humorous to see publications like Vox, V-O-X, not F-O-X, that you can't get more far left than Vox. And they put out the dubious legal theory at the heart of the Trump indictment explained. And the author, Ian Millhiser, writes, "This Trump indictment confirms my fears that there's a significant likelihood the whole case gets tossed out on a technicality." Again, the fears, this amuses me that everyone who's supposed to be like these serious, balanced reporters, and I don't even know, maybe he's not, maybe he's, you know, he's an opinion writer, I don't know. But this idea of my fear is this, why are you feeling fearful? You should just want to know the truth. Isn't that what's important? But of course not. Their hopes and dreams are pinned on the idea that this is going to be a strong case. And what Alvin Bragg showed us yesterday is it is anything but. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom. Are you there,
hey,
Tom?
Grace, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you sound good.
Yeah, so, okay, so John Edwards, when he ran for president, he paid a woman $1 million to shut up about a love child.
Right.
Now, if I'm going to use Alvin Bragg's argument that because Trump basically paid off Stormy Daniels in a non-disclosure agreement, you know, that obviously would have hurt his campaign, so therefore it was considered a campaign donation, why wasn't John Edwards charged with trying to influence his presidential aspirations? And I just see a massive double standard here. And as you just pointed out, these journalists, my fear, well, you're not a journalist. You're an opinion writer is what you're doing. So don't call yourself a journalist when you're giving your opinions. That's not journalism. Journalism is who, where, what, and why.
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
You know, you're right. And the reason they're fearful is because they want a certain outcome. They're hoping for a certain outcome. And we all know what that outcome is. The outcome is they want to see Trump in prison, or they want to see him in an orange jumpsuit, or they want to see. I really, it's hard for me to even figure out what they want. But they're really not supposed to want anything. They're supposed to just be telling you what the news is. That's the way it was. Or as I like to say, that's the way the cookie crumbles. And they're not doing that. We have so many examples. Let's play Eli Honig from CNN talking about how many questions he has about this and really just kind of going through all the problems. Actually, you know, we're running out of time here, so we will come back to that. 844-500-4242. But I have more cuts here of people who want nothing more. I'm telling you, they want nothing more than to tell the audiences that this is the moment we've all been waiting for, that finally all of our dreams and all of our wishes are going to come true. and they couldn't even do that. These are people who've made up plenty to support their theories and their hopes and dreams, and they couldn't even do that with this indictment. That's how weak it was. We're going to come back to this after the break. Get on the lines now. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The core conduct that is charged in this indictment is the payment of hush money. Now, payment of hush money is not a crime. It's not a federal crime. It's not a state crime. So how did they get here to state charges? They're relying on a state law that makes it, in the first instance, a misdemeanor to falsify business records. These are the repayments to Michael Cohen that were falsely logged within the Trump Organization as legal fees when they were not legal fees.
How did they get here? Well, it's called this thing, it's called baloney. That's how they got here. It's called BS. That's how they got here. Even people who want nothing more, like I said, than to understand this, than to understand the legal ground that Alvin Bragg is trying to prove here, or that the legal high wire that he's trying to walk, they're not feeling confident in it. And I keep going back to this piece in the Washington Post because I can't think of a more anti-Trump publication than Jeff Bezos's rag at the Washington Post. But Ruth Marcus wrote this herself. She said, "And don't be fooled by the 34 counts. That healthy sounding number doesn't signify anything about the strength of the case. They will all rise or fall together depending on whether prosecutors' theory of the case holds up." The theory is this: New York law makes it a crime to falsify business records. Ordinarily, that is just a misdemeanor. But if the falsification is done with intent to defraud and intent to conceal another crime, that act becomes a felony. Okay, but what are the other crimes Trump is accused of covering up? The indictment doesn't say, but Bragg was asked on Tuesday, and he offered a few possibilities. First, he said the doctored records violated New York election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means, including making false statements. Second, Bragg cited the federal election law cap on contribution limits. But, this is not well-trodden legal theory. And then later she goes on to say, moreover, it's not at all clear that violating a federal law, even if it could be proved that Trump did so, would constitute the kind of other crime that would allow Bragg to bootstrap Trump's alleged conduct from misdemeanor to felony. And this is a person who said that she's hoping that he can. She's hoping that he's successful, Alvin Bragg. But does she think he'll be successful? Based off what I'm reading, no. That is not
the case. No.
Now, there are other cuts here. We should play a couple of these, Jared. So I also want to play, Carrie Cordero. She's a CNN legal analyst. I miss the days of Jeffrey Toobin. I will not lie to you people. This is the kind of stuff that Jeffrey Toobin could handle. This is the kind of...
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin.
It's not right. It's not right that this is all going on and we don't get to get the insightful analysis from our man, the myth, the legend, Jeffrey Toobin. That's what I always think to myself. WWJD. What would Jeffrey do? And in this case, I don't know how he'd
probably
feel.
Probably something of the prurient interest.
Yeah, probably something we can't talk about on the air. But instead, we have a lot of other legal analysts on CNN, and none of them are happy with this. Let's take Carrie Cordero, cut 17.
It is what I thought it was going to be in terms of focusing on the payments that were made, the falsification of the records, and really tied to the payment that was made to Stormy Daniels in terms of a case that's being brought against a former president. It's a little underwhelming. There's not more to it. There's not more violations, tax violations. Mm-hmm. There's not an incredible new set of facts that we didn't know about publicly. It's really the facts of this case as they have existed for basically almost 7 years.
In other words, can I translate that for you? Because I am an expert when it comes to translating CNN. CNN speak. You ready, Jared? This is the translation. Yeah, that's what that means. I want to play another cut here because I'm enjoying this. It's not often, Jared, that I'll have you pull a bunch of cuts from the media and I'll be happy to play them. Usually they get me very angry. Usually I start to want to pull my hair out. In this case, I'm enjoying this. Let's play cut. This is John Miller, CNN chief law enforcement and intel analyst. So many analysts, so little time. Cut 16.
And it's an interesting shift today because, and maybe it's all our own fault. You know, we've kind of whipped ourselves up over the last week about, you know, if they're bringing this case, it must be more than what we know is inside. And then we looked inside today and say, oh, it's just the same stuff we already knew. So what changed? You know, it's a 7-year-old case. In the DA's office, they called this the zombie case because every time they put it away, it came back to life. Nobody wanted to go forward with it.
The only thing I would add to John Miller's statement is that it is your fault in the media, but you haven't whipped yourself up over the last week. You guys have been whipping yourself up into a lather for the past 7 years. And when I was watching Brett Baer interview Jonathan Turley, who had so many great points on this case, Brett Baer was kind of falling for this too. He was like, is there a chance that there's more? Could there be something here? And I'm not saying that Brett Baer was hoping for it, but maybe in his mind, he just thought there must be something else for them to bring this case forward. And Jonathan Turley was basically like, no, I don't think so. I think this is it. And he was right. Lucy, you're up next on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lucy.
Hi. You said something the last segment that made me wonder about there's underlying motivation here, and you mentioned that. It has mostly to do with, in Massachusetts, Democrats good no matter what, Republicans bad no matter what. So the underlying message underneath all of this is to remind people Republicans are bad. Trump is just the face of it. This is just the face of it. So in the people's minds, in the back of their minds, they're going to remember this as another proof that just shows Republicans are bad. I just think there's an underlying message here besides all this stuff that's going on. I could be totally wrong, but that's what I'm getting out of it now.
Now, Lucy, I think you're on the money today. And I think you're also going back to this expression, and I wish I could give credit for it. I think it's Charles Krauthammer, but I could be wrong, who said, Republicans think Democrats are stupid. Democrats think Republicans are evil. And that is a huge factor in this. That's the reason why you're hearing people say, well, I'm fearful that this case won't hold up. Not because I'm fearful that Trump is being wrongly convicted or wrongly indicted on something that he shouldn't be indicted on. That's not the fear. The fear is, I'm afraid Donald Trump is so evil and we're never going to get him. We're never going to get him. And another part that Lucy just said, which I want to remind people of, is one of Trump's standby lines. And the reason it's one of his go-tos is because it works every time. He says, they don't hate me, they hate you. They're not coming after me, they're coming after you. And I think that over the past couple of months, and there was a really, really excellent piece in, I believe, Red State, that kind of talked about how Trump was running into an issue because he was making a lot of things about Trump and about the 2020 election and about Trump versus DeSantis and taking shots at DeSantis. And he was making things very, self-focused. He was fighting for Trump. And the person who wrote this article, again, I'll try to find it, was explaining that this could pose a problem because what a big part of Trump's charm in 2016, not necessarily in 2020, but in 2016 was, I understand your grievances. I understand you feel forgotten. I understand what you're mad about and I'm fighting for you. And then into 2020 and now into 2024, he lost that a little bit. He's on Truth Social. It starts to feel a little petty, like this is a lot of his own personal grudges with people. But what the Democrats just did is they brought that narrative back. They brought that narrative back of, wow, maybe this is about us. Maybe this is exactly what Lucy just said, to remind people that an entire part of this country is made up of deplorables, is made up of credulous boomer rubes who don't deserve justice, or who don't deserve to be treated fairly, or don't deserve to be heard. And they just reignited that fire that really propelled him into the White House in 2016. And I think they're going to rue that day. I think they're going to look back on this and wish they hadn't done it. Because when you hear all these Democrat analysts saying this is thin gruel, I saw one Republican say, calling it thin gruel is an insult to thin gruel. And that was my favorite expression since someone else said, calling this a kangaroo court is an insult to kangaroos. But when you hear all these people saying this, it's going to be hard to spin it. It's going to be hard to spin this into a success for Alvin Bragg or for Democrats.
Yeah, and for the people in the middle, they or the people who don't go to either extreme, pro or anti-Trump, are looking at this like, yeah, they really are just attacking, like they're harassing this guy.
Yeah.
With nothing, for no reason. Like, what, you know, everything he said they do, they're doing. Like,
and Jared,
you know what, get these people out of here. I'm with him.
And Jared, the other thing is that now, because there's going to be more indictments. You know, you got the Georgia case. You've got
Jack Smith or whatever
Jack
his name
Smith.
Is.
Yeah, we keep hearing a lot about Jack Smith, who's the special counsel, right?
In for DC, these, yeah.
For these Trump cases. I don't know who the special counsel is for Biden. I don't hear his name tossed around as much as I do for Donald Trump.
Oh, Biden's cooperating, Grace. Come on.
Right.
It's all good.
But the other problem here is that you do kind of poison the well. And I'm not saying any of these cases, like all of these cases are incredibly weak. All of them. But when you start with this one and it stinks to high heaven, then all of the other ones, people are just going to block it out. People are just going to go, oh, they're... You think the second indictment, Jared, you think it's going to be like the second impeachment? You try to do the Darth Vader walk again, everybody's kind of tuned out. They're going, oh, the gold pen thing. Yeah, we already saw this. I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending. People are going to block out all of the rest of this. And that's a problem too. One thing I want to add in here is Joe Biden was asked about this yesterday. He laughed. Because everything's funny to Joe Biden. It doesn't matter how serious an issue. It doesn't matter how bothered the American people are by something. There's no topic that does not warrant a chuckle from old Joe.
By the way, that was a joke.
But his press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, she came out with one of my favorite lines from Democrats. This is cut 8, please, Jared.
When we first learned about the indictment, the president was not given a heads up. He was briefed by his chief of staff, and he learned about this just like all of you through the reporting.
You know, we've been talking about Eric Holder, Lois Lerner. We've been going back a lot today to the Obama years. This is a page out of Obama's playbook. I learned about this the same time you all did on the news. And even if that is true, that's the best response he can have. Like, how about this? Yesterday when Trump went into the Manhattan court and he walks in and he's very serious and then they take the photos of him in the courtroom. He's looking right at the camera. Again, very somber, solemn, serious moment. There are times that call for that. And when you've got a bunch of reporters sitting around you going, what do you think of the former president's arraignment today? And you're chuckling and you look like a Cheshire cat with this giant grin. I don't think that is what the American people want to see. Because you've got the far left Trump deranged people who are going, hey, this is serious. They've got him on a lot of really intense things. Hush money payments to the porn star. I'm sorry, to the adult film star. You got to take this seriously. And then you've got people like us who are going, oh, so he thinks it's a joke too, huh? He doesn't really think there's anything to this. But it doesn't matter what the topic is. Joe Biden will laugh about it. You ask him about a school shooting. You ask him about
fentanyl deaths.
He will laugh. It's really incredible. 844-500-4242. I just had to add that in because the sound's not worth playing, but it is noteworthy. By the way, two other big stories I want to get to when we come back, and we'll take more of your calls here. I want to talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court election that happened last night. And I also want to talk about the Chicago mayoral election that happened last night. Two outcomes I'm not crazy about, but I'm also not surprised about. We'll talk about that when we return. Do not go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
As it turns out, virtually everybody that has looked at this case, including rhinos and even hardcore Democrats, say there is no crime and that it should never have been brought.
Yeah, fact check true. I think even Glenn Kessler would have to get on board with that. We just played you a couple of them. We have several more to get to. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Do not be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what do you think is the most likely outcome of the Trump indictment? Dismissal, acquittal, or jury trial?
A jury trial.
31% say jury trial, 54% think dismissal, and 15% for acquittal.
And, you know, I don't get a lot of things right prediction-wise, Jared. But I did say that Alvin Bragg had gone too far and he had to walk down the aisle here. He could not let people down. And that's what he did. And now the question becomes, will he be vilified by the left if this backfires in the way it's looking like it already has? I mean, Trump's already raised like over, I think, $10 million off this. And when you have people like Eli Honig and John Bolton and other serious people saying this case has no legs, then I think that someone's going to have to answer for this. And the left might be pretty upset with Alvin Bragg. We're going to talk about Alvin Bragg in the next segment with Joe Borelli. So don't go anywhere. Just wanted to mention here that the Wisconsin Supreme Court election was last night. And the liberal-backed circuit court judge beat out the conservative-backed judge. And the spending for this was insane. It broke records. I think they've almost spent $30 million on this race. And the reason behind it was because, well, it's important. There's a lot of critical issues that this court could decide. Abortion, election integrity, things of that nature. Once again, though, Rona McDaniel, not happening here. The judge that most Republicans wanted lost, Daniel Kelly. And it's not getting a lot of attention, but don't forget that last year, that court banned most ballot drop boxes, which was great for election integrity. And there was a good piece in Red State that talked about how now a lot of this voter ID and other things that were going to ensure the election was secure are going to go away because Democrats have the majority now in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, unfortunately. We'll be right back.